5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Direct from the Broski Nation headquarters in Los Angeles, California, this is the Broski Report with your host, Brittany Broski.
Hey guys! Good morning, Broski Nation. Good night. It is a great day to be alive. I'm doing blueberry Red Bull out of a teacup that I found in my cabinet. Guys, I wanted to die last night, but I woke up this morning and I'm feeling great. Okay? And that is called hope. That is called hope for a brighter future. And I'm here to provide that to you today. I just got done pooping. Okay? A lot of shit to get through. We got a lot of housekeeping to get to. Just got done pooping because I bodied a chicken salad sandwich. One thing about Caucasian culture, okay, that I will claim every day, every night, every week, every month of our Lord and Christ Jesus's year. Okay? I love chicken salad. I love chicken salad. Okay? Call me a whitey. Call me a honky. I am. Okay? I ordered from this place and I was like, oh, should I get a spicy chicken sandwich? Oh, they have avocado toast. Chicken salad sandwich. Like, I got a chill down my fucking spine. Okay. Hair's dirty. My pits stink. I got a full body wax on Wednesday. Rip me bald, rip my butthole off. I'm feeling plucked like a spring chicken. Let's get into some of the things that we really, really need to talk about today. If you don't mind, though, I am going to take a little sip out of my teacup. Chemicals, Red 40. Now, guys, lock in. Got a lot to talk about today. I'm sweating so profusely under my boobs right now. When I record, I'm like, do I turn on the AC? No. Do I turn on the AC? No. Because you need to have uninterrupted, pure, high-definition audio quality from me, okay? Because what I'm really saying over here is really life-changing, world-building stuff. I mean, lives were forever changed. So can I run the AC while I'm recording a podcast? No. Of course not. God, no. So I'm just going to sit here and sweat. If you see me turn beet red, it's because it's hot. And by hot, I do mean 71 degrees. I keep my house at about 67, 68. 68's that golden number. But if it's a little hot outside, 65, okay? Right now in sunny LA, it's about, I don't know, 72 degrees. It's sweltering for me. I am a hot-blooded mammal. I am a mammalian woman. Anything over 70 degrees, I am sweating. God, it's hot. Okay. Welcome back to the Broski Report, guys. Seriously. Got a lot to tackle today, like I said. First and foremost, man, what should we start with? Okay, how about we start here? I saw Sleep Token, one of my favorite bands, at Red Rocks with my friend Camille, Camel, if you will. Oh my God, y'all. I didn't really like fall out of my Sleep Token phase. I think just like other shit came out and I was like, okay, I need to listen to this now. And we got these tickets, like, oh, we've known about this show for a while. I've never been to Red Rocks. I've always seen, you know, like Hozier, Greta Van Fleet, all these like my favorite people like have done Red Rocks and it looks so iconic. And it's the two rocks look like the halves of the Titanic sticking out of the water. Okay. That is morbid, but true. Let's pull it up. Red Rocks Titanic. Ooh,
you're here. There's nothing I fear, and I know that my heart will go on.
This is me, Red Rocks.
We'll stay forever this way. You are saving my heart. And
to my editors, I'm so sorry.
My heart will go on and on.
That was my Celine impression. Doesn't this look like Titanic? Doesn't that look like Titanic, y'all? Come on, let's get a side-by-side. Come on, y'all. Titanic, when it broke in half. You know what's crazy is we don't even know if this is true. It's a theory. Here we go. Because there were no fardars. There were no fardars of it. Why did the Titanic break in half? Because it hit the freaking iceberg, bro. Okay, there you go. So this is theorized of what Titanic looked like. There it is. History repeats art. Life imitates art and art imitates life. And nature imitates the worst of human innovation. Okay? Anyway, went to Red Rocks. Oh my God, y'all. I can't focus right now. I'm like, my brain, it's firing at 1,000 miles an hour. And I'm like, sit down. Sit down and just talk about one thing. Red Rocks was beautiful and magnificent, and my God, it is not ADA accessible. Fuck me, dude. My God. I mean, I understand, right? It's like at the top of this rock formation. It's in Colorado. You got to climb up there. Now, did we take a taxi up there? Yeah. I'm not walking up there. We walked all the way down, though. And in fact, we walked all the way down, realized we went the wrong way, had to walk all the way back up, and then back down again. We did like 5 miles that day. That shit's crazy. Anyway, so we were there. So many legends have performed at Red Rocks. There's this little like museum there of all the acts that have graced the stage. The acoustics are great. And I was like, you know what? It would be one thing to hear like a Hozier, Greta Van Fleet, sort of like, you know, rock and roll. Ooh, yeah. Let's hear the guitar whine and echo off the rocks. Sleep Token is a progressive metal band. So I was like, is it just going to be like overstimulating? Also, here's the thing. Okay. Camille and I did go ahead and pop a little multivitamin gummy, a little Eddie. Me and Camel went to Eddieville in, where is Red Rocks? Where is Red Rocks City? Morrison. We took a little trip to Eddieville in Morrison, CO population, me and Camel. And it was fantastic, dude. I cannot even begin to describe, like, there are some of those moments where it's like, oh my God, I'm just so excited to be alive. I'm so happy to be alive. This is what it's about, dude. This is what it's all about, a concert with your besties. So we went, visited Eddieville, and right as they went on stage, man, that edible hit, and I am telling you, it was magnificent. There was a moment where Camille and I both, it was kicking. Okay, the edible was kicking. And we looked up and they had these lasers, you know, like at any concert. They had these lasers with the lights and they were, and there was smoke and it was, and then we looked back and the lasers were on the rocks because the rocks were behind you. Duh. The rocks are behind you and it slopes up. And we looked back and we go, wow. Camille goes, wow. It was just lasers. Wow. And I looked up, I started laughing, and then I looked at what she was looking at, and I said, wow. It was fantastic. And here's the thing. Sleep Token, the bassist and the guitar player, whose names are 3 and 4, okay, because I've explained the Sleep Token lore before. Vessel is the lead singer because he's a vessel for the goddess Sleep. The drummer is 2, the bass player is 3, and the guitar player is 4. Okay, that, what? And then there's the Vesselettes, which are the women who sing backup vocals. Shout out to them. I think one of them's in Broski Nation. Okay, Sleep Token new masks. They scared the living shit out of me, y'all. This scares the living shit out of me. Are you serious? What is wrong with y'all? What is wrong with y'all, dude? I just don't. Okay, and am I a little horny? Yeah. But not enough. It's not enough. I miss the old masks. For comparison, let me show you the old masks. And for audio listeners, this it's like demonic, like, there's hair on the masks now. It's like clown, evil clown shit. And now they paint around their eyes. They didn't used to do that. It's just, it's terrifying. Sleep Token old masks. Yeah, this, it used to be just like the fabric logo of the Sleep Token symbol that they would just wear over there. And you could see them. They would like lift up the bottom sometimes and mouth the words hot. And now that's gone. Yeah, is that the scariest shit you've ever seen? Yes. And am I very into it? Yes. And I'm tired of living my truth in silence. I'm bringing my truth to the forefront. I'm bringing my truth to the podium. I'm bringing my truth to the microphone to let it echo through the realm. I need him. Okay. Okay. So we saw, God, I don't know what it is. I love them. I love them all. I love them. So we're there and they did Euclid Live, which when I saw them back in, when was that, dude? No, September, November with Sarah Baska. We went to the House of Blues in Anaheim and that capacity is like maybe 3,000, maybe 3,000. Red Rocks is like 10, 11,000. I mean, they're by this time next year, they're going to be at the Forum. I promise you that. Okay, so anyway, actually, they might be. I don't think they're coming to LA. Sleep Token LA date. No, they're not coming. Fuck! So anyway, they did Euclid Live. Now, Euclid is the final track on Take Me Back to Eden. For y'all who don't listen to Sleep Token, catch up. I'm going to describe it, okay? Euclid is one of my favorite songs, not only just by Sleep Token, but probably of all time. Heart-wrenching. I'm going to read you some of these lyrics, okay? It's like I love these songs of unrequited love, these songs of insatiable yearning of a one-sided love that's just like, if this is all I get, let me be here. If this is all I get from this relationship, from it, you know, it always feels like when you zoom out, it's like, is this all I'm worth? Is this the only ounce or experience of love I'll ever have? And if that is the case, then so be it. Allow me to live here just a moment longer. You know, even if it's not this cosmic sort of whimsical love, it is something. And if they've given you an inch, you're going to take it and you're going to imagine it to be a mile sort of thing. Okay. I'm going through, and I have been going through something similar for the last few years where it's like I have this bottomless cavern, this well of love and emotional support to give. And I've lent it to the wrong people. And when you do that, you start to feel like, is this all I'm worth? You know, am I just doomed to sort of be the interim therapist for these people? And then when they've gotten what they want from me, they can move on and actually go find their person. But for right now, they're taking what they need from me and I get nothing in return. That is my lived experience. And it's sad, but it's true. And to have that reflected, that sentiment of like, you feel pathetic, but if this is all I get, like this is all I get, you know, and I'm going to try to enjoy it and I'm going to latch onto it as well. I'm going to sink my claws into it and beg it not to leave because this is the only semblance of potentially requited love I've ever experienced. So Euclid. And I mean, that's honestly why Eternal Sunshine's been hitting for me so hard is like, it's sort of that experience as well of like, I know this is not good. This is not healthy. This is not what is meant for me, but I cannot let it go. I cannot let it go. And it's this devastating, like, just then leave me alone. you need to leave me alone because I'm not going to leave you alone. And it's just horrible and toxic. Anyway, Euclid, he just has such a, it's literal poetry. And I'm so obsessed with these artists who can properly put poetry that is very wordy and very intellectual to a catchy rhythm. Hozier does it as well. Greta Van Fleet does it as well. There's a reason I love these artists where it's like, yeah, damn, that's stuck in my head. But when you actually sit down and spend time with the lyrics, it takes such a refined palate to be able to go there and then reel it back. You know, because I'm like, these are the lyrics that they chose to put into the song. So they probably dulled it down a little bit. What was the prose before you put it to music? Anyway.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Every year, people make the same fitness goal, train harder. But most fail because recovery gets ignored, especially connective tissue that muscles depend on to grow. Frog Fuel was developed by Navy SEALs and perfected by a Stanford-trained scientist, delivering 15 grams of nano-hydrolyzed collagen protein that digests in just 15 minutes. It's science-backed and ready to drink. No mixing, no sugar, no junk. This year, don't just train harder, recover smarter. Go to frogfuel.com. That's frogfuel.com. Stay unbreakable.
Just run it back. Give me 5 whole minutes. Okay? These are the lyrics to Euclid. I am thick tar on the inside burning. I've got a ghost in the hallway grinning and a heavy head that won't stop turning. If my fate is a bad collision, and if my mind is an open highway, if my fate is a bad collision and if my mind is an open highway, oh my God, I'm fucking cry. Give me the twilight two-way vision. Give me one last ride on a sunset skyline. Call me when you get the chance. I can feel the walls around me closing in. In reverse, you are all my symmetry. A parallel I would lay my life on. So if your wings won't find you heaven, I will bring it down like an ancient bygone. Are you? Imagine someone writing this for you. Imagine someone writing this for you. Call me when you have the time. I just need to leave this part of me behind. Do you remember me when the rain gathers? And do you still believe that nothing else matters? By now, the night belongs to you. This bow has broken through. I must be someone new. Okay, and this is the end. Oh, this song is so awful! It's awful! The whites of your eyes turn black in the low light. In turning divine, and we tangle endlessly. Like lovers entwined, I know for the last time you will not be mine. So give me the night, the night, the night. I have chills all over my body. Are you fucking serious? I know for the last time you will not be mine. So give me the night. I mean, it's like... What a devastatingly poetic way to put it. I know this is not what is for me, but I am clinging to it like my life depends on it. I am clinging to it like I am terrified of not having this, because it's all I've known. Even if it's unrequited, even if it's not, you know? Oh my God. So they don't, I've never heard it live. I've seen it on TikTok live, maybe like twice they've done it. And only in the, in Europe. I've never seen them like do it in America. And so when they did Euclid, and I think it was the last song. Oh my fucking God, I was crying. And that edible was kicking my ass. And I was, you will not be mine. Shit.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Every year, people make the same fitness goal, train harder. But most fail because recovery gets ignored, especially connective tissue that muscles depend on to grow. Frog Fuel was developed by Navy SEALs and perfected by a Stanford-trained scientist, delivering 15 grams of nano-hydrolyzed collagen protein that digests in just 15 minutes. It's science-backed and ready to drink. No mixing, no sugar, no junk. This year, don't just train harder, recover smarter. Go to frogfuel.com. That's frogfuel.com. Stay unbreakable.
Now, my favorite song is Ascensionism. And Ascensionism is one of these songs where, and I'm realizing this, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm new to the like metal. I know that a lot of metal, and what else is this genre called? It's like new metal, just like alt emo music. It is so intelligent, and it is so emotional, and it's so beautiful. Because when you think about it, I mean, these are like emo fucking dudes, tortured artists writing this shit. Of course it's going to be beautiful. Now, are they probably insufferable people? Yes. Yes. Do I care? No. Because this hits. Okay. Ascensionism is one of these songs that is I'm learning is pretty... not common, but like it's a pattern in a lot of metal music that I listen to, which is literally Sleep Token and Bad Omens, that there are, it's like four songs all in one. So it'll have four different beat changes and like segments And then there, it'll have like a intense metal drum screamo shit. And then it'll go back to just a piano ballad. And it's still the same song. It's like a 7 minute long song. Ascensionism has those elements. And live, it's insane. Because at the end, there's this part where he goes, you make me wish I could disappear. And he's screaming it. And the drums are in the background. You make me wish I could disappear. Fuck. Have you ever experienced that in your life where someone has made you feel like you just want to curl up into a ball and evaporate? You just want to just not die, not like die forever, but just like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in this brain. I don't want to be in this realm. I want to be elsewhere. You make me wish I could disappear and then return when I'm ready, sort of thing. It's this ever-present thing of when you go through a breakup or have heartbreak, life goes on. Responsibilities are still there. Your duty is still there. You know, you can't just lay. I mean, you can, but like suffer the consequences sort of thing. That's what I've been going through recently is like, I feel pathetic sometimes, more often than I'd like to admit. And I don't know if it's a mixture of like seasonal depression and fucking something else, but I feel pathetic. I can't even get up to like do daily tasks sometimes. And then I see those slideshows on TikTok. They're like, if all you did was exist today, I'm proud of you. Girl, shut the fuck up with that bullshit. I feel pathetic. And I have this internal, you know, ladder that I'm like, if I could just climb the ladder and get out of this hole, it'll be fine. Just get up, climb the ladder. And some days I just can't. And I have the luxury and privilege of some days just being like, I don't want to do that. I need to lay here all day and feel fucking sorry for myself or feel bad about myself or do this or do that. This isn't a new concept for me. When I worked my corporate job, the one when I was an insurance agent, around the same time, it became unmanageable. I don't know if I've ever really talked about this. I worked at this insurance brokerage right when I graduated college. And I was a communication major with a minor in Spanish, liberal arts. Where are my lib arts team at? Hey, lib arts, make some noise in the comments. Yeah, social service workers. Get ready to make less than the average minimum wage. Graduated with a full fucking bachelor's degree. I was making $13 an hour. Anyway, the first job I got out of college was one from LinkedIn that was those like, just they're predators. They prey on these young, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed college grads that are just, they need a job desperately. They need a job that offers benefits. Because I got kicked off my parents' insurance when I was 21 because my dad's in the military. And so I'm looking for something with health insurance. I'm looking for vision benefits because I need glasses. And I'm living on my mom's couch at the time. This was the first company that offered me a position. And in your head, you convince yourself, you're like, it's because of my merit. It's because of my built out LinkedIn profile and my resume. They were impressed by me. No, girl, you are a warm body. You're a warm body that is going to fill a corporate desk chair. That's all I was. And I went in and you're so desperate to please. You're so desperate to prove that you are worth this position. Now, did I even want the position? No, I wanted the security of what a job gives. So I go in, I do this tour. They take me around the office. They have me shadow someone. It's a call center, okay? And I, in the back of my head, I was like, that's a red flag. They did not advertise this as a call center. You walk into the floor, and they're talking about all these different departments. This is QC, and this is service. These are the sales agents, this whatever. And I'm like, right. So where would I be? And they're like, oh, service. No, what do you mean by service? Customer service. Oh, you're going to be in the desk chair receiving calls from always angry clientele when their insurance agent, the one who writes the policies and sells the policies, inevitably fucked up because the sales agents were my age. They were 21. Imagine entrusting your home insurance, auto insurance, boat insurance, life insurance, all of that to a fucking 21-year-old. That's what this company was. Because they were hiring, and oh my God, the sexism at this company was insane. They were hiring pretty much exclusively men, like frat guys, to be the sales agents, and women and LGBTQ to be the service people because they had people skills. And it wasn't manipulative. You know, like, we're the ones that are going to sit there and fucking take it and be like, let me help you fix your problem. Yes, sir, we're going to solve this together. Meanwhile, the sales agents get to be like, yeah, I'm going to overpromise all these things. Yeah, it's the cheapest rate. We were a brokerage, so you can compare, like, Progressive to State Farm to Allstate, all these, and you could put them across the board. And the sales agent, in theory, was supposed to be the one to be like, okay, this company, you know, you're going to get all this coverage for this price. This company has a better base premium, but you won't get all the bells and whistles. You know, they'll sit there and walk you through it. Once the policy is written and sold, they wash their hands of you. The sales agent never has to talk to you ever again. Guess who fucking does? Me. And I don't know, let me reveal some of this shit to y'all, because I didn't sign an NDA for this company. Fuck this company. They would call in, okay, a client would call in, and they'd be like, because we were the agency, okay, so we're not the insurance carrier. So let's say you get into a car wreck, and you're like, okay, my carrier is Progressive. I need to call Progressive. No, no, no. You call Progressive, they're going to direct you right back to us, because we were the agency that wrote the policy. So they're already frustrated by the time they call us. They call their sales agent because they're thinking, oh, that's the point of contact. No, no, no. Your sales agent doesn't care if you live or fucking die. So they call the sales agent. That's now two people that they've called. No answer. They've been redirected. Okay. The tension's building. By the time they would call us, the service line, you're looking at about a, I don't know, anywhere from 2 to 30 minute wait to talk to a representative. And the first thing we were instructed to do when we get a client on the phone, let me put you on a brief hold. Okay? So you call in. Either you just got into a car wreck. You're checking to see if something's covered in your house, like mold damage, or maybe there's hail damage. Maybe someone, like, ran into your car as it was parked. All these things. Anything could happen. Okay? That's why insurance is there. And insurance, in theory, is a great concept. It's a scam business. Okay? Now, I'll get to my advice at the end of this. You call in and you're like, I just got in a car wreck, or, you know, hail damage is so, or my basement flooded, any of those things. So you're in panic mode. You're calling and you're like, this is a problem I need fixed right now. And you can't call a repairman until you talk to your insurance company. And so you call in and you get me on the phone. Okay. Now, mind you, I've been working there maybe 3 months, maybe. And it takes 2 months to go through training. So all this information has not yet sunk in for me. I'm looking around panicking. I just graduated college 4 months ago. Okay? You're lucky I didn't show up to work with a fucking hangover. And so you call me. Thank you for calling so-and-so insurance. My name is Brittany. How can I help you? You call in. Oh, I just, you know, it's been raining nonstop for the last 2 weeks. Our basement flooded. We can't go down there. It's ruined all the furniture. The washer and dryer's down there. We can't do our clothes. It short-circuited the electricity. Our fridge doesn't work anymore. What can you do? Let me put you on a brief hold. Okay? Put them on a brief hold. Now I'm pulling up their policy, because when you would call in, your whole account would pull up. So I'm looking at your account, and I'm like, okay. And now, I have to look through this shit out of a butt policy that the dumbass sales agent wrote, where they're none of what they're talking about is covered. Okay? Mold coverage declined. This coverage declined. Flood insurance policy non-existent. This and the other. Okay, great. Now I have to get back on the phone with the client that just called in and tell them that none of it's going to be covered, and all of it they're going to have to pay out of pocket. So let me just one more time, just double check. Okay, I'm looking at the deck page, the declaration page, where it says, you know, all the coverage. And also the thing with this company, which, thank God, this saved me a lot of times, voice recording. All the calls are recorded. You know when you call in somewhere and it's like, this is on a monitored and recorded line? It's true. And we save the phone calls. And so we can go back and we take notes when we're on the phone as well. In their case, I could go back and see, okay, on this date, they declined this coverage. On this date, they said, you know, fuck you, I'm not paying that on this date in 2015 or whatever. And so now I call over my manager, I call over whoever, like, am I really about to have to tell this family that their insurance that they pay $3,000 a year for is not going to cover anything, and that they're probably going to have, they're looking at about, I don't know, $20,000 to $45,000 worth of repairs. Yep, you got to tell them that. Oh, right, okay. Yep, uh-huh, no worries, here we go. Take them off hold. Hi, ma'am. Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Da-da-da. So unfortunately, you did decline this coverage when you wrote this policy, you know, when you were having this policy written with your agent. You know, da-da-da, like we can talk about adding that coverage today. Now that will not affect the damage that you currently have. This will only be future damage that you incur from, you know, any other future natural disasters or anything. Oh, let the screaming begin. Okay? Rightfully so. And now this is what I was talking about, you know, a few minutes ago of like, and this is adult advice, okay? Insurance as a whole is a scam. It is a scam. And when insurance companies actually have to pay out, they go bankrupt. It is a common thing in the insurance industry. A company can, especially in California and Florida, a company will exist one year, doesn't exist the next year, because they went completely bankrupt because those two states have, I mean, arguably the most natural disasters, the most devastating natural disasters, because they're coastal states. Now, I'm sitting here on the phone telling this family that they're going to have to pay out of pocket. And I'm listening to all of these are valid complaints, by the way. Why the fuck do I pay insurance? Why do I pay you guys? My agent never answers the phone. Every time I have to call service, I have to wait an hour and a half on the phone. And then you can't help me. And I'm sitting here like, yep, that's true. That's true. It took everything in my being not to sit there on the phone and be like, girl, I fucking hate this company too. I'm right there with you. Okay? Fuck them. Fuck them. But I have to sit there and I have to be like, ma'am, on this date, you declined this coverage. This is your fault. This is your fault. Which is the last thing you should say to an angry client who's already, I mean, that's an emotional thing. That's your house. That's your car. That impedes your daily workflow. You know, your quality of life. Your basement flooded, your electricity's out. What are you supposed to do? And now here you're calling your insurance company. It's not covered. Oh, right. I'm gonna kill myself. I had a lady tell me that one time. Well, what if I just killed myself? I had to say, ma'am, I would not suggest you do that. Now I'm playing therapist. I'm like, I would not do that. Okay.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money. But nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Every year, people make the same fitness goal, train harder. But most fail because recovery gets ignored, especially connective tissue that muscles depend on to grow. Frog Fuel was developed by Navy SEALs and perfected by a Stanford-trained scientist, delivering 15 grams of nano-hydrolyzed collagen protein that digests in just 15 minutes. It's science-backed and ready to drink. No mixing, no sugar, no junk. This year, don't just train harder, recover smarter. Go to frogfuel.com. That's frogfuel.com. Stay unbreakable.
Okay, so that's one circumstance. That was probably about 75% of the time. That was my day today, okay? People calling in being like, this happened, and me being like, sorry, we can't do bullshit to help you because you were a cheapo, not even a cheapo. You probably couldn't afford, you know, that much of a monthly premium like most people can't. But when you decline the coverage, it comes back to bite you in the future. And that's the whole point of insurance is you're paying now, so you pay less later, okay? I had to sit there and tell them that. Now, sometimes they would ask to speak to a manager, and I have to sit there and be like, okay, the manager will call you back, but they're going to tell you the exact same thing that I just told you. There is nothing to be done here. This isn't like a retail store Where if you get into an altercation, you know, it's like, okay, we'll give you a discount. Just make you shut up. Girl, this is insurance. You didn't pay for the coverage. You're not getting it. So that was about 75% of the time. I'd say about 10% of the time it was lighthearted. You know, people, old people calling in being like, I can't remember how much I pay, or I need my car insurance deck page so I can have it in my car. Can you fax it to me? And I'd be like, of course we can. Go ahead and give me that number, Susan. Oh, thank you, sweetie. You are too nice. And that's an easy one. You know, can you send me my declaration page? A declaration page is, it explains all your coverage. And, you know, how much it is per month and what your monthly premium is or annual premium is, all that. If sometimes people just wanted to be more informed of what I'm paying for, whatever. So that was easy. You know, are people calling in being like, hey, we just moved into a new house. You know, like I need to set up an insurance. And I'd be like, yeah, let me transfer you over to the sales team because I can't do that. So I'd say the other like 15% of the time was people calling in to file a claim. Okay, now, if you don't know anything about insurance, filing a claim is when something happens. And the preliminary step, you know, before I would, if you call in, let's say with the same example of like your basement flooded, you have hail damage, whatever, anything that could possibly happen to your home or car, you call in, first of all, I'm pulling up your deck page and I'm looking at the coverage that you have purchased or that you pay for. If it is covered, or from what my Rolodex of knowledge, very limited, by the way, at the time, because I've been working there for 3 months, which is barely 90 days. I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, yeah, that is covered. Let me go ahead and transfer you to the insurance carrier. Okay. Now this is the T. This is where I would steal from company time, because fuck this company and fuck insurance and fuck customer service and fuck call centers. They would call in. Hi, I have extensive hail damage to my car. We had a really bad hailstorm, you know, last night in North Texas, and it shattered my windshield and all this, whatever. Okay, let me put you on a brief hold. Let me pull up your policy. I pull it up. Oh, comprehensive coverage. Okay, that means hail damage is covered. I just have to double check. Okay, ma'am, great news. This should be covered. Now let me go ahead and put you on a brief hold, and I will transfer you to Progressive. Let's say that's their carrier. Okay, thank you so much. Okay, now I'm calling Progressive. And they're hot. Progressive fucking claims, or what was the department called? Yeah, just claims. How can I help you? I'd be like, hey, it's Brittany from so-and-so insurance. I've got a client on the line who has hail damage. Here's their policy number. Can you get it pulled up? Yep, got it. Okay, now we've connected. And now instead of transferring the call, okay, work smarter, not harder, I would get on the phone with the client and I'd be like, okay, I've got an adjuster or a claims, you know, consultant from Progressive here on the line. I'm going to go ahead and transfer the call. Thank you so much. Okay. But instead I would merge the calls and mute myself. So now on the board, because this company was the fucking worst at micromanaging, I still have a complex about this shit. They don't talk about this enough, that the abuse, the emotional and like verbal abuse in a corporate workplace, if that's your first job, bitch, that shit sticks with you. I was still a kid. I was a child. I had just turned 21. I graduated college on my 21st birthday. Like, I could barely drink and I'm here taking calls with old people yelling at me. And so they call in, you know, whatever, we're doing whatever. In this office, it was all cubicles, just miserable. That fluorescent lighting giving you a migraine. There were TV screens everywhere around this office with, we called them sharks. Sharks, managers, were walking behind all of our desks, making sure that we were on task, that we were on program. On the board, on the TV screen, it would say your name, what you're doing, and how long you've been doing it. I'm not joking, bitch. This shit scarred me. Because I already have like I'm a people pleaser. Like, I was a goody two-shoes in high school. Like, I want people to think of me as a hard worker and that I'm doing a good job and I want to be praised, and I thrive on it. The only thing motivating me from not quitting that job sooner than I did was people being mad at me or disappointing people. Okay. And oh my God, this company just knew what they were doing, because all of the employees, save maybe like 10% of them, were fresh college grads. The majority of us were under 25. That's crazy. Anyway, on these boards, it would say, you know, Brittany has been on a call for 45 minutes, which is already a red flag. Someone's going to come and check on me. Because calls should be, you know, you're helping people. But in a matter like insurance, bitch, that's complicated. And people are stupid, rightfully so, because no one teaches you insurance. Like, me training for this job was the first I learned about any of this, which I'm very grateful for, okay? From every negative experience comes positive benefits. I learned a lot about it, but fuck me, to go through all that to learn about it was just, anyway. Brittany, 45 minutes, as she's been on an incoming call. Okay, now that's good. That's good. Versus, it'll say if you're on the phone with a bank for like escrow or mortgage stuff, or if you've been on an outgoing call to a client, because we also had to do that. We'd call clients and be like,
your account overdrafted and we're charging you.
Yeah. Yeah. This insurance payment was on a reoccurring payment from your bank account. We overdrafted it because you didn't have enough money in it. And now we're going to charge you an extra premium because that money didn't go through. Because you still owe a balance. And now there's an additional balance. And then, of course, you know, I call, leave that message. And then they call back angry. And then they have to wait in line. Oh, my God. Fuck this company. Fuck it all. So it would say, Brittany, 45 minutes, incoming call. That's good. Okay? Incoming call. You are talking to clients or whatever. Oh, but girl, for me? I stopped talking to that client 38 minutes ago. They called in, got hail damage. Yep, it's covered. Let me get you over to Progressive. I have been muted on this call for 40 minutes. Fuck you. Fuck you. And guess what I'm doing playing on my phone? Because fuck you! I'm playing on my phone or I'm checking emails. I'm clearing off emails. I'm iMessaging or messaging with my coworkers. Let me go get a little coffee. I take my headset off. Leave it there. I'm still on a call! Oh my God, it was my favorite thing. Because I felt like, oh my God, finally I get a moment to myself. Because there was this pressure of, it's call after call after call after call, 8 hours a day. And this fucking company, they didn't pay you overtime. If y'all are in a position right now where you're working a job and it's way over 40 hours a week and you're not getting paid overtime, check that shit. Because I was salaried, it was somewhere in there in the job offer that I signed that I would not be paid an additional, you know, income to stay beyond the 40 hours. And I didn't even, you don't know about this shit as a fresh college grad. I was working 65, maybe 70 hour weeks because it was expected. And you were shamed if you didn't stay around and help. You're not a team player. You're going to get fired. You're going to get fired. And there were all these incentives of like, you know, if you're the top, if you refer more people to sales, you may get $500 extra a month. $500 extra a month is life changing, you know? I didn't give a fuck though. I made 40,000 a year. I started at 39,000, bumped it up to 40,000. Ooh, ooh. Eating ramen every fucking night. So this job, like doing that, if I was on an incoming call for 45 minutes, that was good, but not great. Okay. Because you need to be, what's taking so long? You need help? They'd come over and tap you on the shoulder while you're on the phone. So a client's yelling at me and here's a manager, a shark behind me, tapping me on the shoulder. What's taking so long? You need to wrap this call up. You need to take more. Because there's 130 calls in the queue. Anyway. It literally traumatized me from, I quit that. So here's how it ended. Okay. I worked this job for 9 months. You had to request off for Christmas, by the way. This was my first Christmas out of college. I love spending, like everyone does, well, most people. I love spending Christmas with my family. My family lives in Florida, okay? It's a far plane ride from Texas. That's like a 3-hour plane ride. And my family lives in a small city, so you have to take a connecting flight. Driving there takes 12, 13 hours. Couldn't do that. I requested off Christmas Eve, got denied. Had to work on Christmas Eve. So I had off Christmas Day and then the day after Christmas. But they said I needed to be on call the day after Christmas. I had to be on call the day after Christmas. What the fuck are you talking about? And so I had 24 hours off for Christmas. And I was like, if I don't fly to Florida and like physically be with my family, like I'm literally going to have a neurotic breakdown. Like I need to see my dad. I need to see my dog. I need to, like, it was horrible. That was one of the worst years of my life, of just like, is this really what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life? I've been working here for, by that point, I started in like October of 2018. I've been there for October, November, December, 3 months, had accrued no vacation time. And so the vacation time that I did take off, which was the day after Christmas, they took out of my future PTO. Anyway, that was like, at that 3 month mark, I was like, any hope I had of moving up in this company or becoming a manager or proving myself just went out the fucking window. When I saw how horribly they treat, oh my God, and when election season came out, what am I talking about? Like it's a TV show. When midterms happened, I had to use paid time off to go vote. That's illegal. I didn't know that at the time. All this shit happened. So around May, June, I started calling in. I can't come in today. And that's, you don't do that. Like, you need to be a team player. We need all butts in those chairs answering calls. When you don't show up, you're putting that work on someone else. Girl, fuck it. I don't care. People didn't respect me when people called in. Also, here's another thing. When someone would call in with a question, that person's policy is now assigned to you. That case is assigned to you. And so you'd call in. And I'm saying this like I'm kind of bitching, but I hope this is helpful as well for when, because all of y'all are functioning adults, okay? You're going to have insurance. It's required. It's illegal if you don't. Auto insurance. This is what's happening on the flip side, okay? And it's tea. It's fucking tea. You call in. Your case is now assigned to me. So on your policy, it says, you know, Brittany has been working on this. Now, if you call in again, it's reassigned to whoever picks up the phone. That's why it's so difficult every time you have to call any service like that, that it's like, okay, well, I was talking to so-and-so. Oh, so-and-so doesn't work here anymore. Yeah, girl, I know why now, because the turnover rate at companies like that is insane. Also, because of this shit-ass policy that if you call in, you're assigned to any random person that picks up the call. And now they have to completely learn your situation, what you've been talking to Brittany about for the last 3 months. You know, it's so ass backwards. And so that's another part of it, is they were like, when you don't show up to work, that work gets put on someone else. I don't give a fuck. It's your policy. You came up with that shit. You know your clients are pissed off and you're not doing anything to change it. When you don't show up to work, you make someone else's life harder. And they don't give a fuck when they do that to me. And don't care. How about pay me a livable wage and maybe I could care? How about pay me for the 70 hours of work I'm doing a week? Then I'll care. It's a joke. So around June, I go, I can't do this anymore. I was so, for the first time in my life, clinically depressed. I didn't really grow up with, you know, I feel very fortunate. I did not grow up in a household or a situation where I was ever really anxious or really depressed. Like, I had it kind of mild in high school, of just common teen angst, but I wasn't like medicated or anything like that. This was the first time in my life, 9 months of this job, I was like, I don't want to be here. Like, I can't do this. The prospect of doing this forever, I'm going to jump. I'm not joking. And I would call my dad and my just crying. I don't want to. It is the absolute last thing on earth I want to do is get up out of this bed and drive my ass to that job. Also, just, you know, when all that happens, you don't give a fuck about how you look. You don't care about how you're coming across. You don't care. I mean, I was lucky if I even fed myself that day. If I remembered to pack something for lunch, because I couldn't afford to, you know, go out and get Chick-fil-A. That wasn't in the budget. So I'm at this job and I would call my dad just crying, just like, I don't want to do it. And I know that broke his heart, but there's not much he can do. You know, my parents are not the type to be like, well, just move back in with us. He was like, you'll figure it out, which I'm very grateful for because it taught me how to be independent. You'll figure it out. Oh, right. Oh, okay. Oh, and around this time, I had to get my wisdom teeth out. They were rotting out of my head. Couldn't afford it. Didn't have dental insurance. So I start calling in literally every 2 days. I'm like, oh, my grandma's sick. Oh, I had food poisoning. Oh, my car broke down. It was something new every day. I was trying to get creative. And then my manager would be like, two more of these and you're fired. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to be fired. Oh, I'll go work at Outback Steakhouse, bitch, and I'll make more money there. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I hate you. You're going to get fired. Oh, good. Please, Donald Trump, if you can hear me, please fire me. Please fire me. So I would come in maybe like one day a week, one of these days. It was so, that level of freedom of like, I truly don't care. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. And I do not suggest it, but it was fun. Okay. Because I knew it was coming. I knew either I was going to quit or I was going to get fired. And I was already talking to other companies because that's the thing. This wasn't like a reckless sort of, I don't care if I live or die, or I don't care about my future. It was like, I don't care about my future at this company because they disrespect me on a constant basis. Not only do my team members and my management disrespect me, the fucking CEO was involved in a lawsuit. Like shortly, it was a class action lawsuit, by the way. Crazy, crazy. This company was crazy. All that was happening. And then the clientele is disrespecting me as well. Every single person needs to work a customer service job at least once in their life. You will quickly reassess how you talk to people in the service industry. And I was never like one to dress people down, but you know, you start to get frustrated. Oh my God. But when you think about what these people are going through on the other end of the line, Jesus, it is horrid. So, yeah, there was one day I didn't even call in. Okay. I no call, no showed because fuck you! I don't care! I no call, no showed. I get a call around 11 a.m. because I'm supposed to be there at 8. Get a call around 11. Hey, where are you? I'm by the pool. I was at my apartment complex pool. I don't give a fuck! I told him I'm at the pool. What? Don't care. The next day, I was fired. I had already put in my 2 weeks, though, so I don't care. And it was also this thing of, like, don't do that. Obviously, don't follow in my footsteps. By the time that had happened, I had already secured a new job. I already had a start date. I was already hired. And so by the time this happened, I didn't want a reference from anyone at this insurance company because they are evil goblin people. Evil goblin demon people. I don't want a reference. Like all the references that the new job at the bank hired me from were from jobs I had before this insurance agency. So I no call, no showed. I'm at the pool. Okay, you're fired. Great. Because I already put in my 2 weeks. And so I get a call the next day from HR. Okay, I still have the voicemail on my phone. Hi, this is, you know, so-and-so from so-and-so insurance. You have no called, no showed a few times these past few weeks. And unfortunately, I would not bother coming into the office tomorrow. We are going to have to let you go. The elated screech I let out. Oh, I'm free. Oh my God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with. Are you serious? I had been waiting my whole life for that phone call. Part of me, though, I had a little shame. Okay, I was like, I just got fired from a job. Don't care. Because I'd already quit. I'd already put in my 2 weeks. So, around that time, from the time that, like, they terminated me before my 2 weeks was up. Good. Fuck you, bitches. Fuck you. By the time they terminated me to when my start date was for the bank job, it was like 3 weeks. And luckily I had enough savings to like pay for my groceries and shit, but it was dwindling. And by the time I started my new job, it was so much different. It was me and a lady. It was me and an old Southern lady. That was it. And we worked with the mayor of the town as well. He, like, worked at the bank for some reason. That was his day job. And then at night, he was the mayor. I don't know. The vibe was so different. It was lovely. It was a family sort of thing. You know, like, everyone at that bank had been working there or at a branch of this bank for, like, 25 years. All these people know each other intimately. They're taken care of. They love their job. You know, it's very, it was just different. The culture was different. And I got brought on as a trust and investment services assistant. Okay. I'm really giving y'all the lore. I mean, we're 50 minutes into this. Tell me if you don't care. Because this, I've never talked about, like, actually what I did at the bank or at the insurance company. When I tell you I've been in the trenches of corporate America, I've been in the trenches of corporate America. I understand. And it makes every single day that I do this job, I never wake up like, another fucking day. Some days are stressful. And it's hard having people talk about you in a way that you can't control, you know, because I'm, more than anything, I want people to like me. And if they don't, for whatever reason that's out of my control, it literally, I cannot sleep. I've had to get over that quickly. But these experiences taught me to have thicker skin because corporate America doesn't care if you fucking live or die. Believe you me. So I started at the bank. And this is going to be an hour and a half long episode. I don't care. I've got a lot to say. So I started at the bank. And this was through a friend. This was through a friend who had family connections to this bank, of people who worked at the bank. And that's how I even got an interview, is because it was a personal recommendation. This was not through LinkedIn. It was not through Indeed or Glassdoor. All these companies that, like, and now I know the truth of a lot of these websites, that these job postings don't even exist. They don't exist. You'll get to the final rounds of interviews and the job doesn't exist. It's so hiring recruiters can say that, you know, they're hitting a quota of, like, interviews or fucking whatever. It's insane. It's all a scam. Real jobs come from people you know. And I will die on that hill. That is one of the best pieces of advice I can give. If you are in college right now, network. Network. If you're in high school, network. Talk to your friends' parents about what they do. Talk to your friends' friends and whatever. That is the most crucial. That's also why I love A&M. I loved A&M because the Aggie network is such a real thing, and they push it as well. You know, the Aggie network, anywhere you go across the world, if you find an Aggie, man, it's an instant connection. Because, you know, they get it. Like, they get A&M's culture and the traditions and the camaraderie, and, you know, Aggies help each other. And, oh my God, if that ain't true. The Aggie Network, wow. So I got this job through a connection, and that is the only reason I got it, is because when you have someone who can personally vouch for you, that you got a leg up over anyone who's applying online, some rando. So if you're in college right now, or if you're not in college, if you are working a job, please network. Just ask questions. Hey, what do you, you know, what did you do before this? What do you do? What did your parents, oh, your best friend works at? Tell me. Would you mind sending me there? Oh, okay. Do it. What do you have to lose? Anyway, I started the bank, Trust and Investment Services. Now, this covered very wealthy clientele in our sort of region. We covered, like, North and East Texas. Very wealthy clients who have trusts. And if you don't know what a trust is, let me look up the definition so I don't butcher it. Okay, so a trust is a legal arrangement in which a person, known as the grantor, which is usually the very wealthy person, transfers property or assets to a trustee, who is usually a bank or some form of some entity that can hold the assets, who then holds and manages the assets, there you go, for the benefit of a third party known as the beneficiary. That's usually a person, okay? The grantor works with an attorney to create a trust document that outlines how assets will be distributed and when, and then chooses a trustee to carry out the grantor's wishes. So what we dealt with a lot was very wealthy people who had disabled beneficiaries, or something like if there was a husband and wife with children and the husband died in some freak accident at the, you know, the fault of a company, like a workers' comp sort of thing, but they died, they'll be paid out in a lawsuit. That money will be put into a trust, and then it's reserved for, you know, the beneficiaries would be the wife and the kids. However that legal case shook down or the document, you know, sort of dictated. And so what I would do a lot of the time is I would accompany my boss on these meetings, these client meetings, where we would go get lunch with whoever. Usually it's a very tragic story of someone passed unexpectedly, or, you know, there is a disabled family member who cannot provide for themselves and they're living off of this trust that another family member had set up for them. As according to the trust document, that would dictate when and how much money the beneficiary is granted, okay? So what would happen, this is an example of one of the clients at the bank. Very wealthy, like, grandparent. Disabled grandson. Living in an apartment, would constantly call the bank and be like, I need money for a pinball machine. I need money. I want to buy a swimming pool. I want to buy, you know, this. I want to buy that. I want a car. And then my boss would have to be like, you know, I can't do that. Like, you call me every month asking for some fun, silly thing. Our job is to make sure that you are cared for. You know, you are fed, you have healthcare coverage, and that you are healthy and living comfortably. Anything excessive like that, that is why this money is in a trust, and it is why I am the trustee, okay? Not you, because in these situations, especially when someone dies prematurely and there's children there, these children are young. You know, they can't even touch that money until whenever the grantor decided, 18 years old, 25 years old, 30, you know, like, all these things are stipulations in that legal document. It's very strange to be in a position where you are the one saying no when the person's entitled to that money. It's their money. You know, the grantor. And so that it would be this altercation sometimes between my boss, and I'd sit there and watch because I was one day supposed to take over what she did. And so I was listening and learning and observing how calm and how logical she was with our clients, you know, of, I understand that you see this as money in a bank account, but man, it's not. It's for you to live on. It's for you to live on responsibly, and it's why we as the bank were entrusted to divvy out that money when and if you need it, okay? It's not fun money. This is living money. So it was heavy sometimes because it's like these it's a difficult thing. And it's also a lot of emotional tension of, you're mad at the person who's passed. Did you not trust me with this money? Like, you're going to trust this random lady who works at a bank and he didn't trust me. You didn't even know him. I'd listen in on phone calls like that. It was hard. And then my boss would have to be like, I'm doing my job. We were listed as the grantor or as the trustee. I'm doing my job the way that, you know, your grandfather entrusted us to do the job. I'm just going by what this document says. You know, that's it. It was hard and it was heavy, but it was tea. We got tea from some of these families. But you didn't know him. He was a racist old pig. I'm entitled to that money. Hey, whatever. We had one client who owned some big gas station in Texas, or like across the southeastern United States. He owned some gas station chain or something. It was something like that. Like a legacy sort of thing. Millions of dollars in these bank accounts. And we had a beneficiary who would call in and be like, he was an old fucking, blah. Like, we all hated him. And he promised us this money. And then we come to find out it's in a trust. Fuck you. You didn't know him. He was the worst man alive. And we'd have to be like, ooh, ooh. Crazy. Some of this family drama. Wow. So that was what I did at the bank. I did trust and investment services. So, and some of that money, I mean, again, the document would dictate what was done with the money, who got it, when they got it, how much they got, where it was invested, that sort of thing. Sometimes we would work in tandem, the trust department with the investment, you know, advisors, and we would talk to the grantor if they were still living or if they were looking to do business with the bank. So that was both of what I did, of interviewing and selling our company to new clients and managing current clients. And so we would get on calls or we would go get lunch with potential clients, and then we would bring in the investment advisors. And so they'd be like, you know, let's say we got $1 million from a lawsuit payout. Is this boring? Do y'all care? Do y'all care? I was supposed to talk about Five Nights at Freddy's lore today. I just got sidetracked. I'm sorry. This is on my mind. And I'm off the Red Bull right now. We would go to these meetings and they'd be like, you know, we got $1 million from this lawsuit because my husband was like wrongfully injured in a workplace. We don't want this money just sitting in an account. We don't want to give it to like Fidelity or like a Schwab or something like that, where just some bot will manage the assets. We want to be intentional with where we're putting this money. And so we'd bring in an investment advisor and we'd sit down and we'd be like, okay, let's talk about risk assessment. Let's talk about where do you want this? You know, do you want it in the sort of big five or like Fortune 500 companies, fucking whatever? Do you want it in eco-friendly, sustainable shit, which is a scam, by the way? Or do you want it in a trust? And if it is in a trust, how much is it earning? You know, what's the, all that, we would talk about it. So I was party to all those meetings and calls, and I learned a lot about my own investments, you know, and as an adult, especially with as wishy-washy of a job as this is, where it'll be like big money and then you won't earn anything for months. It's scary coming from a corporate job where you're salaried to this sort of, also this job of like trying to prove to homeowners that you're renting from or an apartment complex to be like, I have money, I promise, but it's just not coming. It's weird. And so I'm so fortunate that I had that experience of like, this is what an investment portfolio looks like. Here's how to set it up. Here's what all these terms mean. Very difficult to understand when you are, look, liberal arts sister, okay? I don't know my ass from my elbow when it comes to financial economic shit. But I'm so fortunate that I learned it in a work environment like that where they paid for the training, you know? So all that to say, I learned it. I use both of those things from the insurance job and the bank job today in my daily life because they're crucial adult skills. They're just so boring and they're so complex and they're so scammy and they're so predatory. You know, both of those, it's just, anyway. The bank, as most of you know, I worked there like 3-4 months. They were about to send me off to trust school, which is somewhere in Georgia. It's in like Atlanta. And around this time, this was like August, September of 2019, I went viral. And so I'm doing that on the side. I'm starting to meet all these people online, talk to these people. I was like viral on Twitter as well as TikTok and all these things. It was all happening so fast. They were about to send me off to trust school. And I was really going to, you know, like get a, not a license, but like a certification. To start actually helping my boss in a way that before I was an observer, I would actually start being party to sort of these meetings. Right before I was supposed to, they had bought my travel. I was going to be gone for 2 weeks. I was going to network, meet all these people. Went back, kombucha video. Okay. They find the video. My boss brings me to the office, pulls up my YouTube channel. I'd posted maybe like 2 YouTube videos. She found it immediately. Found the pseudonym I was going under, Brittany Brisky. And she was like, what's this? And I said, oh, I have never in my life felt more shame, to be honest. Like here I was setting up my new, you know, what I thought was going to be, I'm going to take over her position. She's been at this bank for 25 years. That's going to be me. You know, like I'm going to live and die and retire in Texas. And that's just, you know, this is going to be my job. And thank God it's not as miserable as the other one. Is it my passion? No, but it puts food on my table. I feel safe and comfortable. And that's, you know, really all you can ask for, especially in the corporate work environment. So she brings me in. What is this? Oh, I felt so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. I was so ashamed. And I was like, it's just, you know, I'm posting videos for my friends to see. I'm so sorry. I'll delete it. And she basically put me in that position where she was like, you either delete all this, wipe it from the internet, and you be a young professional, or we have to let you go. Because this is unbecoming of a young professional. And I said, oh, right. Then I went home that night after she brought me into her office and she was like, you know, giving me this ultimatum. And I'm thinking, she doesn't have the right to do that. This is my personal life. Like, this is my social media as a person who does not, I don't have any affiliation with this bank anywhere on any of these channels. Like, I'm posting things that are for my friends and like this new young audience I'm accumulating. Like, you can't bring me into your office and threaten to fire me. That's not how this works. Girl, little did I know, Texas, which other states, I can't, let's look it up. Texas is an at-will employment state, which means in United States labor law, at-will employment is an employer's ability to dismiss an employee for any reason and without warning, as long as the reason is not illegal. When an employee is acknowledged as being hired at will, courts deny the employee any claim for loss resulting from the dismissal. That is the exact situation I found myself in. And when I got fired, I had a lot of family members and friends reach out to me and be like, you can sue them. You can sue them for wrongful termination. No, I fucking can't. I was within the at-will employment window, which is 90 days. They fired me on the 89th day. That shit sucked. Because in my mind, I'm like, yeah, you owe me. You owe me money. Even though they were out money on me because they had bought all the shit for trust school and paid the admission fees and all that. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, a bank lost money? Call the National Guard. What are we going to do? Girl, fuck off. And so they were like, you know, she put the guilt trip on thick. We've invested so much time and money in you. You were supposed to be the next me. And now we have to start at ground zero. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh my God. I'll pay you back. Get the fuck out of my face. Is California an at-will employment state? Good night. Indiana, Florida, California, Arizona, New York, Colorado, Montana, Alabama, Georgia, Idaho, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Alaska, Delaware, Louisiana, Maine, Kentucky, Texas, Virginia, Connecticut. A lot of southern states and a lot of northern states too. Damn. How many states have at-will employment? Oh, 49 out of 50 states. At-will employment solely focuses on either the termination of an employee or when an employee leaves. Right-to-work statutes make employers offer the choice of joining a union or not, but limit their ability to terminate employees if they choose to represent themselves. Yeah, this is a whole thing that I stopped kind of caring about it when they fired me. Because I was like, I guess I'm never going to be able to work in an office again. I really had to have that conversation with myself of like, is this worth it? What if this doesn't work out? Thank God. Thank you, Lord, it worked out. But what if this doesn't work out and I have now made a fool out of myself? Every single job I will ever apply to in the future, they will be able to find my social media presence. And my social media presence is not work friendly. It's silly and fun, but like, that's a serious thing. Like, I don't know if I'll ever be employable again. And it's this weird cultural shift happening too right now where it's like, everyone has a social media presence. I would be willing to bet that, you know, in your lives, you probably know one person, if not you, that has had a viral video on TikTok that's gotten a million views or, you know, something close. It's a pretty common thing. TikTok's a very democratic app. Like, it's way more common now than it was in 2019 when people were still like, what's this dancing Charli D'Amelio app with the freaking furries, bro? It wasn't cool. Now it's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be back on TikTok, you know? So I don't know. It's how the world has changed. But at the time I was shitting bricks and I called my dad and I was like, I got fired. And he was like, you'll figure it out. And I said, right. I will figure it out. And it all worked out and I'm very grateful. But my God, it was very embarrassing at the time. So all that to say, go check your homework for tonight, guys, is check your insurance. And I don't mean health insurance. That is a different beast entirely that's not my wheelhouse. I don't know bullshit about it. Okay. And I feel like a timid little lamb, a little deer, a newborn deer trying to fucking navigate the United States healthcare system. Even people who work in it don't fully understand it. Anyway, your car insurance, and if you are renting, renter's insurance, and if I have any homeowners out there, go check your homeowner's insurance. And if you live in a flood zone, check. Maybe get some flood insurance. If you live in Florida or California or any of the Tornado Alley states, get some wind insurance. It's worth it, dude. It's worth it. It's expensive. And if you can find it in your budget, it is worth it. Because worst case scenario, which worst case scenarios happen. I lived it day to day. If your whole fucking house is blown apart or flooded or your car is smushed and you're not even in it, you know, you're shit out of luck. Insurance really does save lives sometimes, but it's more scammy. It's more often scammy than it is helpful, but it is helpful. So go check your declaration pages. Make sure that if you live in a state that is deemed more risky or a city that's more risky than others, like a Los Angeles or New York or Chicago or, you know, Dallas, Houston, I would check your coverage. Just do it. Why not? And educate yourself on what it means. What is comprehensive coverage? What is collision coverage? You know, all those things. If you get into a wreck and you need a rental reimbursement, all those things are add-ons that you can pay for on a monthly basis for a few dollars, and then it'll really be worth it in the future. I would just go check, okay? That's your homework for tonight. And your other homework is, if you are not registered to vote, please go register to vote. I am linking headcount.org in the description below. Yeah, please, guys. Seriously, this is the year to do it. I'm going to plug it every single episode from here until election day, or here until voter registration day is, you know, until it's up. You can't register anymore, which I believe is in September. Go register to vote now. I love you guys. Thanks for listening to me rant, to be honest. Felt good. I do not miss corporate America, but the tea we would get sometimes, girl, I miss having coworkers. I will say that. My coworkers and I, we were like this. Damn. We were like this because that's trauma bonding, bitch. That is trauma bonding. We would get hilarious voicemails from some of the clients who would call in, who would call our personal lines, like our work phones. And they'd be like, I hope you die. I hope you choke on your spit and your tongue in the middle of the night. And I hope you fucking die. And we'd save the voicemails and send them to each other. Because girl, leave me alone. You're telling me that you want me to die because you didn't pay for hail damage coverage? Girl, fuck you. Fuck you. Leave me alone. Anyway, I do miss the camaraderie between coworkers. Okay, love you guys. Broski.shop for merch. Seriously. If you want some hoodies and t-shirts and sweatshirts, I also have muumuus coming out very soon. Love you guys. Bye.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Every year, people make the same fitness goal, train harder. But most fail because recovery gets ignored, especially connective tissue that muscles depend on to grow. Frog Fuel was developed by Navy SEALs and perfected by a Stanford-trained scientist, delivering 15 grams of nano-hydrolyzed collagen protein that digests in just 15 minutes. It's science-backed and ready to drink. No mixing, no sugar, no junk. This year, don't just train harder, recover smarter. Go to frogfuel.com. That's frogfuel.com. Stay unbreakable.